response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here. Just in there.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Monday to you. Ferris, first one in. Amy says, happy Monday, DGS. How about those Cardinals? How about it?
We'll take that, right?
Cardinals and the Blues.
You think they can go 162-0?
I think so.
Yep.
I think it's doable.
That's the plan.
They can at least win their first 50.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a little light. I'd like to see more than that.
Let's just say I put a lot of money on that. So gonna need him to go 160.
Feeling pretty good about this.
No, I mean, it literally could not have started better.
No, I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to last. It doesn't mean anything beyond what it is, which is a really good start. You haven't had many good starts the last few years. And, you know, if you go get swept by the Angels this week, well, people aren't going to be feeling so good. But the fact that you went out and beat a pretty good team, too, like the Twins don't stink.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a team that's expected to contend in the AL Central.
Yeah.
So you beat a good team that ran three pretty good pitchers out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pablo Lopez is really good. Joe Ryan is really good. And so is Ober, although he was sick yesterday and looked pretty bad.
And we have Contreras and Wynn literally not hitting yet.
Yeah, they were 0-for. The two of them 0-for-23. It didn't matter.
The rest of the team just picked them up.
Didn't matter. Well, that's kind of the point, right? Like, when the Cardinals have been good in the past, it's always almost unnoticeable when a player or two struggle, because there's always somebody going. There's always somebody picking up the slack.
Which is what a team is.
Right. And in the past couple of years, that just hasn't been the case. So it was really noticeable when Goldie's struggling, or when Arenado's struggling, or when both of them are struggling. But, you know, when three, four, five other guys are hitting okay, well, then nobody even notices that Contreras is 0-for-14 unless he's on your fantasy team.
Yep. I want to give a shout out to our buddies over at KMOV. I was on Great Day St. Louis this morning. Hopefully got to see it. I think we posted it on Facebook. But to Kent and Laura and our good buddy Matt Chambers, they were really cool. It's a nice place over there. They have new digs.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll piss you off.
Like, this is fancy.
Yeah. And Beth, our very own Beth, her husband is one of the engineers over there. So he took me on a tour. And every room we walked in, I was like, son of a bitch. Like, this, oh my God, this is so cool.
It's nice and new and shiny.
Yeah, shiny. Smells like a new car. Cool, though. DGS fans over there.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, mutual respect society.
That's
very cool.
Can you, okay. So it has been just about to the day, 1 year since my mom fell. It was opening day last year. And she died 4 months later. Now, I don't expect that to mean as much to you guys, the listeners, as it does to me, but just purely clocking time, that doesn't seem possible. That it's been almost a year, mm-hmm. right? I can't believe it's going to be April. Somehow this winter, and I'm not exaggerating, winter felt 6 weeks.
Mm. Those 4 months in between her falling and her passing away, what did those 4 months feel like? I'm curious. Because for me, watching you go through it, it felt like she was here for longer than that.
Yeah, I agree.
The best analogy I can give is it felt the way when you have a really long dream and you wake up and you're like, I lived 2 years in that dream,
mm-hmm.
right? That's how the whole thing felt, because I had to keep doing the show and I had to keep, you know, being there for my family. But I was going to see her a couple times a day, and it was just the definition of surreal. And it was 4 months. 4 months is a long time to do that, but people do it for years.
Yep.
People take care of loved ones at home and in hospitals and in hospice for years. So I can't complain too much.
No. But it's still, it has to feel like a time warp.
It does.
Because I know,
good way to put it.
It wasn't nearly as long, but I felt that way that, you know, when I was in Florida for my mom's surgery for like 10 days, it mm-hmm. felt like it was way longer than that, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't.
Yeah. Back to the Cardinals. So Busch Stadium was about half full yesterday.
Yep.
And I know we had some weather and, you know, people maybe not wanting to get in the storms and things like that. But I just heard from someone who's in the know, who I trust, that a lot of it is some sort of a protest against Mo. Like, okay, let me just say it very plainly. I think St. Louis, we need to check ourselves. There's nothing wrong with criticizing the team. There's nothing wrong with criticizing ownership or leadership. The same way, it's our absolute God-given right to criticize the government. You get to do it. I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just saying maybe right-size it. Kevin, you're great at this. Like, we have had it so good, and I just think that we don't really realize how good we've had it. Doesn't mean that you can just have a stinky team and everyone's supposed to be happy and put 46,000 people in the stadium every single time. But, you know, a little bit of right-sizing.
Well, I mean, look, I think the best way for fans to demand better customer service is whether you show up at games or not. Right? I mean, like, if you're
so
thinking,
vote with your feet.
So that's, I'm saying, I don't have a problem with people doing that. I do have the issue with people that make it personal. Like, this is Mo's fault. Like, not really. It is to a degree, right? He owns his faults in there, but he doesn't set the budget. He doesn't determine what he's going to be allowed to spend. There's a whole group of people that does this. And I don't mind any customer saying, I want a better product. I think that's perfectly fine. But the lack of perspective when describing what things are irritates the hell out of me. Because I get people on Twitter all the time. It's like, this team's terrible. This is a brutal team. Like, no, they're not brutal. The White Sox are brutal. That's what brutal is. You don't know what brutal is here because you haven't seen it. You know, you get one crappy sub-500 year and all of a sudden, like, we're tortured. the poor. Like, no, you're not. Like, you had 25 years of being good pretty much every year. Yeah, one terrible year, one mediocre year, and now we're into this, whatever this is going to be, and we don't know. This could be like last year, it could be worse, could be better, we don't know. But there's a lot of, I do think it's perspective, and I'm not trying to pick like fights on generations. I do think it's a lot of the younger fan base that's like that, because the younger fan base doesn't know any different. If you're in your early 40s or younger, you probably don't remember this team not being a contender. Because they've been a contender your entire life,
mm-hmm.
early 2000s until now,
mm-hmm.
until these last 2 years, really. So when that's all you know, I understand that. But you are allowed, as a grown person, to, I don't know, pay attention to what's happening in other places and how bad it is in other places. You're not in Pittsburgh. You're not in Kansas City. Kansas City had a nice little run and won the World Series and went right back to being kind of blah. And they were pretty good last year. Like, they had a nice turnaround. But they're not actually really good. They go 20, 25 years sometimes between good runs. I mean, name almost any other franchise. So I get it. You're accustomed to a certain level of living, and you want to stay there. Nothing wrong with that. But you're also allowed to do that with some perspective. Because fans in other places hear this, and they're like, you guys are jerks. Like, if you're a fan in Pittsburgh and you hear Cardinals fans complaining, you're going to be like, guys, welcome to the real world. Because this is what it's like for the most people. So I'm a little torn on the whole thing, right? Because mm-hmm. I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with a customer saying, I want better service. I want a better product. And if you're saying this product is not worth my money as it has been, that's totally fine. I do think we're maybe making too much of Sunday. Because Sunday was a day where huge storms were forecasted. People do tend to stay home when that is the case. And even then, 26,000 fans is bad here. A lot of teams would kill for 26,000 fans at a game. They're averaging 35,000 for three games so far. Now, granted, opening day is the sellout. The Saturday game was kind of mid-ground, right? It was about, I think it was around that, like 32,000, something like that. And then Sunday was 26. This team has a concern about selling tickets. Like, they're not where they normally are in ticket sales at this point. And that's only going to change if the team is better. And again, absolutely nothing wrong with the customer asking for a better product, because you've allowed this by your support of the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this team doesn't have money to spend, doesn't make money at the end of the day if they're not pleasing the customer.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But you're also allowed to be rational about it. You don't have to be super emotional and act like a child that's not getting their way.
Amy says, yes, storms were forecasted, but City SC had a full stadium.
Sure, absolutely. And again, it's also a little bit newer product. And also, by the way, a much smaller stadium.
Right?
I mean, what the Cardinals had on Sunday would not fit in City's stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people. So, and by the way, we also have to consider that's part of this, too, is there are fans that probably would normally go to a Sunday Cardinals game. They're like, nope, we're going to City because City's off to a pretty good start. They're still a little bit newer.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of Cardinals games, right? I mean, there are 162 Cardinal games. There aren't 162 City games. Mm-hmm. Sorry, matches. Mm-hmm. I got to be in the soccer parlance there.
So I've been dying to ask you about the New York Yankees bats. So I am now, along with Tom Ackerman, an endorser for Underdog.
Uh-huh.
And Underdog is a sports app where you pick higher or lower. Kevin is going to make 8 funny jokes during the DGS.
Right.
Nope, he's going to make 12.
Right.
And so I made a decent amount of money over the weekend betting on the Cardinals and the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I made money because the Yankees have a cheaty bat.
It's not cheaty. It's legal. It's 100% legal. They wouldn't be using it in a game if they hadn't checked with Major League Baseball. If they were cheating, they would be hiding it and not being open about it.
Do you think everyone's going to have a torpedo bat?
I don't
know.
Like this is the thing that I'm like, the logic to this is simple, right? What they did is they looked at a couple of players in the past and where they most often made contact. So they weren't getting it on the sweet spot of the barrel with the old way. So what they said was, hey, you know what? This bat that has the sweet spot lower, right? It's closer to the trademark. It's closer to the label. And that's where this guy, Anthony Volpe, tends to make more contact. So if we slide that down, he'll make harder contact if he keeps doing that. Well, you know, Aaron Judge isn't using one of those things. Aaron Judge is still using the old school bat. And the reason is because he wasn't having that problem. He's able to get the sweet spot to the ball on a regular basis with the old way.
Remember when we were kids and the lore was if you hit the ball on the label, it broke?
Most of the time it would on a cheap bat. Yeah, that's for sure. And you don't want to hit it there because that is where bats are going to break. Now, where they're hitting it is above that, but not too much, right? So if you're hitting it with a traditional bat just above the trademark, the ball's not going anywhere. It's a pop out, it's ground out, it's fly out. It's not good. It's not going anywhere. But if you move that sweet spot down, which is what they've done, that works for a guy who has that problem. But it's not going to make any difference for somebody that's already getting the real sweet spot of the old bat to the ball on a regular basis. And I'm interested in this because there's a lot of things about how you weight the bat, right? So the weight of the bat being closer to the hands should make it feel lighter.
Rachel, you bored to death?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Kevin's so good at talking about this stuff. Like, even if I'm not sure what's going on, it sounds very interesting.
Like, it's a simple physics thing, right? The closer the weight is to your body, the lighter it's going to feel. If you want to test it, pick up a 10-pound weight real close to you and then hold it away from you and tell me how much different that weight feels. That's what's going to happen with the bat. So it might feel a little lighter in your hands, even though it's the same weight as a traditionally end-weighted bat.
We all understand physics here, Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can skip most of that.
Yeah.
Please now, come on.
So I think this is, I kind of did a mini rant on it on Twitter today, not about the bats, just about everything in general. Like, okay, so the Yankees hit a bunch of home runs in 3 games, and the whole world's losing their minds. Forget the fact that Aaron Judge hit a bunch of those home runs without using the torpedo bat. Forget the fact that Milwaukee pitchers were throwing 89-mile-an-hour fastballs right down the middle all weekend long. We're just, like, jumping to this conclusion like it's the new wave of things. Can we just wait and see if it actually changes over time as opposed to it change for 3 days? I feel like everything in baseball right now is just sensationalized. Like, people are overreacting to, like, you know, in Boston, their star player is Rafael Devers, and he hasn't got a hit yet, right? Well, neither is Contreras, but in Boston, they're losing their minds. You know, there was an article that was put out, or sorry, a graphic put out by FanDuel. So this is a naming rights sponsor for the TV stations that air Major League Baseball games. And they put out a graphic that said, is Mike Trout cooked? They put that out after 2 games. What are you talking about? 2 games.
Is he cooked?
A bunch of guys in Boston were railing about their star rookie who made the team After one game, they're like, he's not ready. He sucks. And all he did was go 6 for 8 the next 2 days with a home run and a double. It's like, why can't we just calm down? Do we have to freak out about everything?
Wow. When Kevin Wheeler says that, you should listen. DGS on KMOX. Hey, I lived out a fantasy. So I've told the story many times about going to Mrs. Opal's house with my mom so that they could crochet and I could slowly die. And Mrs. Opal always had, anyone my age and older remembers, the box of ding-dongs, like a dozen dongs, and they were all wrapped in individual foil. And they were magic. And they wouldn't let me eat them. So that was just like my whole thing in my childhood. But I realize I've never owned one of those. And over the weekend, I was door dashing some groceries and I door dashed one ding dong and they mistakenly sent me a box.
How?
So now in my home next to my Keurig, I have a box of ding dongs.
I can take care of that for you.
Want to come over?
No charge.
Help me kill him?
Free of charge. I can take care of those ding-dongs.
Just like get rid of that mouse.
And I have in the past year gone off on ding-dongs and said they're inedible.
Yes, you have.
But they're completely different in the box. I don't know why.
Maybe it's just psychologically, you know, you're getting what you always wanted.
Yeah, they're so, well, that's pretty good, Freud, but I hadn't considered that. See, I had it down to like the physics professor there, Wheeler, that in the regular ding-dongs, it's two of them in a package.
Yeah.
And so maybe they're using up all their oxygen or something. And yeah. And in the box, they're just individually wrapped.
Oh.
Yeah. So they can breathe.
Nice.
Well, I'm excited for you, Dave.
Thanks.
That's pretty cool. And I feel like whenever we talked about ding-dongs in the recent past, I was sticking up for them.
You were?
I do buy them by the box, and they're quite good.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
You're living a life I don't even know about. You buy ding-dongs by the box.
Yes, I don't buy the individually wrapped Hostess stuff that
often. It's a waste of money. So an individually
wrapped... You're all buying ding-dongs by the box?
No. An individually wrapped... Hold on, Kevin.
No.
An individually wrapped ding-dong from the gas station is like $1.89, $1.90 at... cheapest.
Okay.
A whole box of dingers from the store.
It's like $4.
Less than that. It's like $3. I mean, it's so cheap.
So we could resell them and quit this.
Just hang
job.
Out outside the gas stations and be like, hey, these are more expensive in there.
Now there's a thought.
Yeah.
Selling Lucy's.
But if we're not selling the Lucy's for the same price as the gas station, we're not really going to be making that big a profit.
Well, I bet you could sell them for 50%, like at 100% increase and still be probably half of what they're charging in there.
I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, but if I pull up to Quick Trip and someone's trying to sell me a loose ding-dong outside of the door, like, I'm getting out of there.
Fair.
I'm not buying anything.
I mean, I don't remember asking what you thought ding-dong. About whether or not we would.
You didn't
of course,
think
you're
was,
not going to,
you didn't
but you're
think
not.
She was
going to
be on the team.
I thought she'd be on the team because you wouldn't do it, but you're not disgusting. I would do it. I think a lot of people would.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 104.1 FM. Dave Hines says, okay, I'm up to speed now. I agree. Got to buy the ding-dongs by the box. Makes me feel rich when I open the pantry. I get that. That'd be a good Sweet 16.
What
simple life thing makes you feel rich?
Ooh.
Right?
I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
That's a good one for a future date.
It's like when I bought my new Jeep. It's not a new Jeep.
No.
2021, 40,000 miles on it, but it still smelled new.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm rich.
I think anything, like any big purchase that's new, you get that moment. You're like, yeah, I'm living it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This must be what Elon feels like.
So Wheeler brought us Schnucks Donuts the other day, and he brought a couple cinnamon rolls. And on the break, Rach was saying, oh, man, I've been craving those cinnamon rolls. And I asked her, do you go for the crispy outer ring, or do you go for the more, I started to say sultry. I was going to say wet, and I was going to say moist. I'm like, those are bad. Then I'm like, sultry. Say sultry. The center of the cinnamon roll, and you're a center girl.
Yeah, for sure.
And Wheeler said, oh yeah, he said, this is one of my weirdnesses. I like to save the best bite for last. I'm like that with pretty much just McDonald's.
Oh.
Because with McDonald's, not so much these days, but back when I used to do it face-to-face, I would get a cheeseburger, a hamburger, fries, and soda. And I always save the cheeseburger for last because I'm the least hungry at the end, so I want the best thing.
Yeah.
Make sense?
I get you, but yeah, it's not my reasoning, but I every meal pretty much, I try to save the best bite on the plate for the last bite.
Same.
So like, always eat my veggies first, because nobody loves those.
Can't believe you eat veggies.
I do. You have to. You know, you gotta stick around for a little while. You know, so those go first. See ya. Done.
What kind of veggies you eating?
Broccoli, carrots, peas, corn. Corn doesn't really count.
Dork.
Yeah.
Dork.
Yeah.
What do you mean corn doesn't count?
It's not really a vegetable.
You stepped in it there.
That's like the main vegetable I eat.
Nah, it's more like eating bread. But it's okay. It's in mixed vegetables, so we'll count it.
Well, corn bread is good, too.
Yeah, it is. It is. But like last night, I made burgers at home. I was telling Andrew earlier, like big third-pound pub burgers. We grilled them up, and I definitely did that. I ate around it to get to that one last one that was going to be perfect.
This
and
is what
it was
I
perfect.
Love about this show. Like, KMWX in the past has been like, World War II has broken out. And and now we're like, no, corn's more like bread than vegetables.
Yeah.
And we're all like,
I do that with Pop-Tarts, too. I eat the crust around the edge first, and then...
Now that's crazy.
Stuff.
Now you're starting to seem normal.
Yeah.
You should do this more often.
Yeah, I mean, it's only food. Well, I have other weird
Hold
things,
on. But... That's normal? That's crazy. Eating the edges of the Pop-Tart and then we're
that's
like,
why he seems normal.
Because the edges are the worst
he
part.
Has some
Clockwise
craziness.
Spiraling your way. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying now, Dave. No, I still don't think that's normal. I still don't think clockwise spiraling your way through a Pop-Tart is normal.
Oh, it's super, super, super normal, and it's the best.
That's how I did it, how I eat everything. I skin everything. Like
go
Buffalo
around the
Bill.
Edges?
Yeah, like you should see what I do to a Snickers. It's obscene.
Really?
Yeah.
It's sultry.
You know, people will do that.
It's sultry.
You know, like dissecting the Reese's peanut butter cups. They did that for a while. Like, how do you eat a Reese's? You eat the whole damn thing at once. That's how you eat a Reese's.
When I eat, for example, a Butterfinger, I'm just stuck. Not stuck. I do it on purpose. But at the end, I'm just holding a naked Butterfinger. All the chocolate's gone.
Oh, that seems like a mess.
And with a snit, no, it's a mess with a Snickers.
Okay.
You just, it's like skinning a person, you just got the organs. Like, Snickers, the nougat, is off-putting.
Yeah, it's also kind of messy.
Yeah, but I still do it.
Well.
I can't just take a bite.
Hey, look, I got somebody on the, Amy's on the text line saying she does the same thing with Pop-Tarts. See? Not that weird.
Brian says, I feed the edges to my dogs. Since there's no flavor.
Oh, come on. There's something there. Because usually,
usually
they got a little frosting and stuff on there. Just a little bit.
There's flavor because you have to eat the base to appreciate the add-ins, right?
No.
You have to eat the base, and then you're like, okay, this is what the base flavor is. And then everything on top of that, your strawberries, your frostings, your sprinkles, your whatever, that is all dependent on the strength of the base.
I tend to
the foundation
think
of your house
of Pop-Tarts as being a little bit kissing your sister. Like, I get it, they're a pastry, but they just don't make it.
Oh, I
they
love
just
Pop-Tarts.
Don't make it. They're like a little too dull and boring.
Do they make like the double stuff Oreo version of Pop-Tarts?
They should.
Because if they don't,
that's
I mean, that's a winning idea right there. Give me more stuff.
They don't want to give away that. They know what we'll pay for that filling already, and they don't want to give us any more.
There's one.
But I would pay more for it.
There's one answer to this question I'm about to ask. What is the perfect ratio of ingredients in any food item? You know what it is.
It depends on what food item is.
No. You love them.
What?
You love them.
Oh, you mean what food has that?
Yes.
It's
the peanut butter cup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Although I probably would go with... Would like the Reese's Christmas tree or egg be better than the cup?
Yes.
If you're a peanut butter lover, yes.
Yes.
I personally,
and the big cups are the best.
I love the big cups because you... get all that peanut butter, but then you get the extra chocolate too. It's like a nice thick chocolate.
Remember when I bought you the one with the potato chips?
Oh yeah.
How's that?
You know what they should
make?
They're
good.
They should make naked peanut butter cups and just the peanut butter, no chocolate.
Jiffy does that.
What?
No. I mean, it's just peanut butter.
You gotta mix stuff in there. It's not just peanut butter.
That got all of us. All the three peanut. Of us went, they do?
Is it Jif or Jiffy? Now I'm having a Mandela moment.
It's Jif. It's Jif.
There's both?
It's, no.
There's Jiffy peanut butter, isn't there?
No, there's Jif peanut butter and there's Skippy.
Okay.
Yeah,
Jif. That may have just explained Skippy. The Mandela effect.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys want to play this or that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Rach.
Okay.
Comfort foods.
Oh, okay.
Stroganoff or lasagna?
Oh, man, we're starting out with like two of the best, but I have to go lasagna.
Lasagna or chicken and dumplings?
Lasagna.
Lasagna or grilled cheese and soup?
Ugh, lasagna.
Lasagna or pot roast?
Lasagna.
Lasagna or cheeseburger and fries?
Man. Okay, I'll go cheeseburger and fries.
Cheeseburger and fries or steak and potato?
Steak and potato.
Steak and potato or spaghetti?
Steak.
Steak or... hot pizza and a cold beer.
Ooh, steak still.
Steak or chicken wings and a McDonald's Coke.
Oh, yeah, that.
Going
the
that.
Chicken wings and the McDonald's
Coke. Has anyone ever
Coke?
Had that? Did I just
no.
make that
no.
up?
That sounds incredible. That sounds like the best thing I've ever eaten.
I shouldn't admit this, but I am known to go to two different places for two different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not above grabbing some like Little Caesar's wings and then going to McDonald's.
Chicken wings and a McDonald's Coke or Thanksgiving dinner.
Chicken wings and a McDonald's Coke.
Chicken wings and a McDonald's Coke or breakfast for dinner?
Chicken wing.
Okay, there you go. There's your comfort food.
Man, I might have to do that sometime.
We should all do that.
Okay.
Let's do it together.
I'll bring the Cokes. You guys bring the wings.
Andrew.
Yes.
Breakfast foods. Bacon and eggs or biscuits and gravy?
Biscuits and gravy.
B&G or Eggs Benedict?
Eggs Benny.
Benny's or a breakfast sandwich of your choice?
Benny's.
Benny's or waffles?
That is tough. Waffles.
Waffles or pancakes?
Waffles.
Waffles or a skillet of your choice?
Waffles.
Waffles or an omelet?
Waffles.
Waffles or cinnamon rolls?
Oh, no. Waffles.
Waffles or French toast?
French toast.
French toast is a real, like...
Yeah.
I don't like it very much.
See,
oh,
there you
I
go.
Love it.
And I love it, too.
Yeah. Eggy bread, as it's sometimes known.
No, it's not.
For real?
Yeah. Because it's like just bread
just
and eggs.
You and your dad call you that?
No, it's called eggy bread. I think they call it that in like Jolly Old England.
No, they don't.
I think they call it eggy bread.
French toast or a breakfast burrito?
French toast.
A French toast or chicken and waffles?
Ooh, Chicky Waff.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
Chicken and waffles.
Hard to beat Chicky Waff. I didn't get any at Kegs and Eggs because I kept, every time I would go up there, they were in between chicken swaps.
Yeah.
Oh, it was devastating.
I didn't have one bite of food at Kegs and Eggs.
The food was good.
Yeah, I didn't either.
It was good.
I had 18 beers.
and that's all the nourishment you needed.
Wheels, greatest athlete of all time.
Ooh.
Brady or Jordan?
Jordan.
Jordan or LeBron?
Jordan.
Jordan or Steph Curry?
Jordan.
Jordan or O.J. Simpson?
Jordan.
Jordan. I mean, you got to put the murders aside.
Best car chase ever, O.J.
Jordan or Jim Thorpe?
Jim Thorpe.
Thorpe or Dick Butkus?
Thorpe.
Thorpe or Dan Marino?
Jim Thorpe.
Thorpe or Usain Bolt?
Jim Thorpe.
Ali?
Jim Thorpe.
He really gets stuck on one.
Who's Jim
Thorpe? That's
who
he simply thinks is the best.
Old school. He's like Olympic athlete, professional football player, professional baseball player, like one of the original multi-sport athletes who was
one
great
of the first
of
Native
them.
American athletes.
Yeah. And he would run in the Olympics in like bare feet or like these tattered old shoes that were like hand-me-downs.
That's cool.
Jim Thorpe or Pele?
Jim Thorpe.
Jim Thorpe or Gretzky?
Jim Thorpe.
I just like hearing him say Jim Thorpe.
Yeah. Me too. It's got a good sound to it.
Jim Thorpe or Serena Williams?
Jim Thorpe.
Jim Thorpe or Michael Phelps?
Jim Thorpe.
Okay, there you go. So, wings and a McDonald's Coke, chicken and waffles, and Jim Thorpe. Those are the big winners.
Jim Thorpe.
Not a bad trio, I'd
Thorpe.
Say.
Jim
that's
Thorpe.
Gonna be, it's going to be
Thorpe.
My new answer to everything. Just Thorpe.
Jim Thorpe. One 48 DGS. The stream is pushing back. In the this or that game, I did not mention Bo Jackson.
Yeah, Bo should be in there.
JR says that Bo Jackson, Jim Brown, Jim Thorpe, and Jordan are his Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, Jim Brown's on that list, too. I mean, he was also like a world-class lacrosse player.
He was mean.
In addition, yeah, he was definitely mean. But a good mean. Well, you know, off the field, not good. It's some domestic abuse issues.
More of this.
Yeah.
Today's National Farm Worker Day. Am I the only one on the team that worked at a farm?
Yep.
I think so.
I am so happy I worked on a farm. Rach, you have something on the Google Doc. Is it all a simulation? The answer is yes. But this makes me think of that because in my weird thinking, all agnostic-y and simulation-y and wondering how my life stacks up to other people's lives. And I think it was a Rick and Morty episode I saw once where it turns out that they're just playing a video game like at a Dave and Buster's and you just pick the Rachel Zimmerman life. Like, hey, let's get crazy. I'm going to be Kevin Wheeler. And when I look back on my life, I think if this really is a video game that I'm playing, I chose well. Because it's very textured. Like, I like the fact that I worked on a farm. I don't like the fact that I've had terrible things happen to me in my life. But if I were to die now and go before the tribunal and they're like, none of it was real, but you had the experience. Did you grow from it? Did you evolve from it? Did you learn your lessons? Did it teach you about treating people better? I would say 100% yes, well done. How about you guys?
Just looking back at my entire life, I mean, I get what you're saying. There are definitely things I look back and I'm like, I wish that was different. I wish this choice was different. Even choices that were made for me, like as a kid, you know, but you can't go back and change any of that. And if you took away any of the things that, you know, I pine about and I'm like, oh, I wish that was different. Well, then I wouldn't be in the exact place that I am now. I'm not saying I'm in the perfect place, but I'm in a wonderful place.
Right.
And I wouldn't want to trade any of the things that I have. And I keep hearing this phrase, like, a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. And I find that, like, incredibly comforting. Like, when you're going through something hard or when you're faced with a challenge, it's like, this is for a big reason, I think, you know.
Yeah.
At the end of this, I'm going to be tougher.
You should have just pretended to make that up because it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you could have made one different decision in eighth grade, and right now you could be on the Mark Reardon show.
I mean, maybe.
That scared Wheeler.
I mean, I know that. I made that decision. I mean, your decision of where to go to college can be that.
Yeah.
If I didn't choose Miami, I don't have the life that I have. I didn't play college baseball at Miami.
I don't have your daughter.
None of it.
You probably have some crap kid with some crap wife.
Yeah, I'd probably be a big loser.
Some loser daughter.
Thank you, Miami. But yeah, you don't. I mean, this thing you don't know.
What intrigued you about the simulation theory?
There's just a scientist who has come out and he's like, I have the answer and it's definitely a simulation. So it's like, oh, okay.
Well, I read this article.
Yeah.
All right, so how's he proven that?
The second law of thermodynamics, I guess. I kind of skimmed it. I didn't get
it. It's okay. You're on it.
I've got to print it out here somewhere.
My problem with those articles is that
Jim Thorpe.
I want to read them, and then I get to the second law of thermodynamics, and I'm like, I'm not smart enough to understand any of
this. Oh, yeah. I gloss over a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Just give me the bullet points.
He says he found the source code of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not able to explain what that is.
So
I apologize for
here's
that.
A brand new one just out this past week that many astronomers believe that there is some suggestion, not proof, but suggestion, that our whole universe is within a black hole in another larger universe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basing this, and I don't understand why this is significant, but they recently did a study of all the galaxies that we can see. And 2/3 of them are rotating either clockwise or counterclockwise, I forget. But 2/3 of them are going in the same direction. And they said, given everything else we know about the universe, it should be just about 50-50. You know, like, there's no reason that they should be, most of them should be going in one direction, unless we are in something that is spinning that direction. And that could be a black hole.
Well, what if there are galaxies that we can't see that even out that number?
Could be. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why it's difficult for me with all this stuff. It's hard for me to be like, oh, that's 100% the answer, because it's like, I don't know. We're just going off of, like, the math we know, the physics we know. There could be things that we haven't figured out yet.
Yes.
Oh, there most definitely are. I mean, in 20 years,
tons of things.
In 20 years, there will be things figured out that are not currently solved. Just like 20 years ago, we didn't have some of the things we have now.
Mm-hmm.
That's my science.
That's Jim my Thorpe. Science. I like that Thorpe. Phrase.
That's my science.
That's my science.
Yeah. It's very Trumpy.
We learn stuff as we go. Science.
Wheels, I've written down New York Yankees 8 years. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, I don't
anything know. Come to mind?
Ask him again in 20
years. Is that your
I'll
goal?
Know in 20 years.
To be on the New York Yankees?
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Speaking of a very textured life, that would be quite impressive.
Yeah, right? I've told this story before, but when Fee was little, we were taking a walk, and I said, she's like 4 or 5. I said, what do you think would be a good life? And she stopped and she thought about it and she said, I think one like yours, because you have so many crazy stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
If you get to the end of life and someone's like, tell me something crazy, and you're like, I got nothing.
Yeah, give me a Rolodex.
You know who lived that kind of life?
Jim Thorpe.
Jim Thorpe.
Jim Thorpe. Thorpe.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.